Father in heaven, we come before you today. We thank you for the privilege of further study. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will be present with us today as we go into your word and give us wisdom, give us understanding. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the angels that you send to also. And above all, may it help us, may our faith grow, and may we be able to remember and share with others these important truths. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yesterday I was quite nervous at the beginning with the connection, so I put an order, by the way, online. So it's going, the connection cable is going to arrive tomorrow, the fastest way to get it in Lansing. So I hope that the older connection continue giving me some kind of input for the ideas. But, yesterday we were working the concept of Emunah, that is faith in the Old Testament, and also the concept of Tzedakah, or Tzedakah, that is justice in the Old Testament. And finally, we were connecting the dots because probably tomorrow I'm going to gather up some of the things from the perspective of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament regarding this concept. Because the concept is this one, Habakkuk 2:4. A righteous man by his faith, by his faithfulness lived. A righteous man by his faithfulness lived. When I was saying man, let me tell you that in my mind, I am not saying this is only for male people. No. This is very clear in my mind that the Bible here is implying humankind, is implying everybody, is implying all the people. So the concept of Emunah, that is one of the elements of the character of the Lord, it's represented. The other thing that we were talking is that sometimes I think that the apostles in the New Testament, they had a fight in themselves regarding the concept of believe and obey. And you are going to see that in the interaction with the churches in the New Testament, in the epistles. Why? Because in the conceptual frame of the Hebrew people, believe implies obey. And you are going to see that. And we are going to enter into another dynamic that is going to put you in the speed on the topic in a very clearly way that probably the other presentations I made before. So, and it's Paul who in the Epistle of the Romans adopts the clear conception that is reflecting in the following association, and also these association elements, that is, believe implies obey, do not believe implies do not obey. Simple. Very simple. So, sometimes I was thinking, let's open our minds to the dynamics, into dynamics of the early church. And this is the dynamic of the synagogue, you know? Sometimes Jewish people with Muslim people, they share certain things in common. And the conceptual frame of the mosque in the Islamic worship and style of religious practice, it is related with the synagogue. And remember something, synagogue is first in time. I'm not talking here hierarchically speaking, but the synagogue is first. Synagogue was the place in which the people visit in a place when they don't have to find a lodge in the old times, in the towns. When you get from a trip, the synagogue was the place in which they are going to have. Synagogue was also the functioning for a council of the local towns. And of course, when they were far away of Jerusalem, it was the place of worship the Lord during the Sabbath hours. When you go to the mosque, they are going to see certain kind of similarities regarding that thing. It is quite interesting. Last year, with the liaison of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and Muslims relation, Mrs. Gabriela Profeta, by the way, then the surname of her is Profeta, no, it's nothing to do with Mohammed or something like that, you know, but she is Argentinian background. And we visit the imam of Detroit. And we enter into the mosque because we are trying to bring something for them over there. And we had a very, very good conversation. And of course, in the dynamic of that, I began to make some questions and entertain the idea about these kind of connections, because the mosque in the Muslim country function like that. So if a person, hello, good afternoon. If a person arrives into a town and there is no lodging, nowhere to go to the mosque, they can sleep over there for one, two nights, maybe take a shower, you know, use restrooms and so on. And that is the functional of that. It's a kind of center of community during the week, worship for the Muslims on Friday, and worship for the Jewish in the setting of the synagogue during the Sabbath hours. But the point in which I've been talking yesterday is that when you go to the book of Romans, let's open a little bit Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, you are going to see that kind of dynamic, because that is quite clear for me that is coming from that. The following text for me is clear what is the main topic here, because you are going to see the conceptual idea of listening or hearing the word of the message, and that is coming from the word of God. And the Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And look, the preacher is not the center here. In the Bible, here, it's not the center. And sometimes this is something in which we need to pay attention to that topic. And I am talking maybe not only to you guys, but also for the preachers. Because the essence of the preacher is not the preacher. Is the word of God. A preacher without the word, it is a messenger without a message. Because the essence of the message is the word of God. Is the word of God. And how, says the next, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So here we were building. So the Apostle Paul says in verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? by the word of God. So, in essence, faith is coming from where? From the word of God. And the word of God is coming from God. And it's reflecting the thinking and ideas and mind of the Lord. So that is part of the topic. And here is the kind of synagogal structure connection here. So sometimes I'm thinking it's not about the beauty of the building or how much expensive is the building. And sometimes it's not who is the talker, who is the speaker. It is not anything of that, you know, that is nonsensical here, because the source is a preacher that faithfully reads the word of God. And the process of teaching and learning by which the members of a church are going to appropriate and get the idea, it is listening, and the Bible says, heard, not read, because probably the audience in those days didn't have the level of education of writing and reading, and that is part of the problem of that. And what is the result? The result is building up the faith of the church by centering in that moment of worship and study of the word and learning about that. So sometimes when we are in the church, I like to think that we are like in the synagogue in the former times, in which there was a reader. And also there were disciples that sometimes were copying the reading of the scriptures. By the way, that was the earliest transmittal process by which they apply and substitute the early versions of the manuscripts in the Old Testament. So that is interesting. And we were talking at the end yesterday, but today I am entering into another dynamic in the same topic. It is a metaphor that is sometimes forgotten in our reflection, and it's a metaphor of walking with God. And that for me, it is where Emunah is born. Is the where and is the when Emunah, faith, is born in the Old Testament, in the process of walking with the Lord, walking with the Lord. So let's take a moment and let's open our Bibles and let's go to the book of Job in the Old Testament, book of Job, and let's read and reflect and began to think about this topic. Because it, believe me, is important. Remember that we are going to trace connections from the Old Testament to the New Testament. From the Old Testament about the essence, elements of the faith. And you are going to see about these things. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Book of Job, chapter one, the beginning. Book of Job, chapter 1, verse through 3. You have it?
There was a man in the land of Uz, his name was Job. That man was perfect.
Job, J-O-B. Thank you. Sorry for my English. Yes, go ahead.
And one that feared God and turned away from evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the children of Israel.
It is, thank you. It is interesting this text. Because first of all, who is a writer who wrote the book of Job? The Baba Batra, by the way, that is one of the Jewish writings, says that the book of Job was written by Moses in the desert. And I don't know, don't ask me that. Ask maybe to the Ellen G. White Center about that, because Ellen G. White says the same thing without probably knowing the Jewish version. She says that was written by Moses. Ellen G. White says so. If you have a Jewish friend, tell him, look, it is interesting, you know, Baba Batra says the Ellen G. White says the same thing. I'm not going to enter into that too much. Let's go to the text. But here the Bible says first, verse 1, that there are some things in the personal character of Job. He was, first word is what? He was perfect, upright, and one that feared God and was far away of evil, stewed with evil, say my King James Version here. Second thing, verse 2, it speaks about what? Seven sons, three daughters. And verse 3, what it says? Okay. So verse 1 is character. Verse 2 is family. Verse 3 is about substance, finances, New York stocks, and some kind of having the bank, you know. And in verse 3 it says that was the greatest of all the men in the East. For what? For verse 3, verse 2, or verse 1? Oh, yes. Okay. I do agree. Hey, I am not defending, I am not Jorge Bergoglio, the Pope Francis, that is in defense of the poor to say something against the rich. The Lord wants us to be rich. It's very clear. But you know, our culture, it is in certain sense changing the values. It isn't. Because if you put here, for me, the greatest thing is that he was perfect, upright, feared the Lord, and eschewed evil, like the Bible says. But also, somebody is going to say, well, he has a good family. And also, he is a rich person. Our culture is changing up, down, all the values. Oh, Job. Oh, Job is in People magazines, you know, in the cover. Because he has this, he is with the talks, actions, and this, and buildings in that, and he's building sun and investing in this. And he is also with an interesting, good family. And he's a good person. Completely up down. Completely. So this is the culture. But what is the culture in the Bible? It doesn't start with verse 3. It doesn't start with verse 2. It starting in verse 1. is a person. So the rich is a person. If we have in the church, we are not rich for our buildings, by the way. We are not rich for anything or our systems, but by the character of the people that is reflecting this in our church. That is our riches. And let me go into that, because in verse 4 says, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and probably birthdays, you know, and sent and called for their three sisters and eat and drink with them. But look, verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sacrificed them and rose up early in the morning. Early in the morning. That is, keep in mind that point. Early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts, and this did Job continually. It is quite interesting this. Can we think about this process of sanctifying them? This offering of burnt offerings, it is connecting our ideas immediately with what in the Old Testament? With the sanctuary service. He was acting as a priest of the Old Testament for his family. And he was concerned for not only the good style of them, was not concerned for, you know, if they were in a fashion style of living, but by their hearts. He was concerned for their spiritual life. And that, again, appears that. But if you follow in the reading, you're going to detect some kind of transition from verse 6 through the rest of the chapter. And please, I'm not going to read all the chapter. I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to get one point, and I'm going to review that point across the Bible just for give you the picture of the rest. Verse 6 says, now there was a day when the sons of God come to present themselves before the Lord, Satan came also among them. And here is interesting, because in verse 7 and verse 8, there is a dialogue in between the Lord and Satan. According to Ellen G. White, Satan might be able to approach to certain meetings until the death of Jesus on the Calvary. And here was the conversation about Job. And that's interesting. Look what the Lord says in verse 7. And the Lord saying to Satan, whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? And then Satan answered the Lord and say, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord saying unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth? And look now the description. A perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. So when you read verse 8, with what you are going to connect that with? Verse 1.
I do agree.
So the point here is this. It's not verse 3, the point about richness and possessions and about buildings and, you know, all those things by which a person is going to be evaluated. The Lord is evaluating what? Character. Please, keep that in mind because that is important in our reflection on Seventh-day Adventist, because the Lord is going to look for characters. People with reflection of His character. And that is important. And you are going to see, because this is not the opinion of the people. You know, some people today, in a society in which we are very well affected by the social media, we are concerned who the people is talking about, myself or the other, or this person or the other. I will say this, I don't care. The only opinion and the only point that I am concerned with is what the Lord thinks about myself. And everybody has to be concerned with that. Because the Lord is not going to see how many, fancy telephones you might have, or what is your wellness or your house, or if you are with a Tesla coming to camp meeting, or a Prius, or whatever, or walking, or what. The Lord is not watching about that. The thing that is He interested is in characters. In characters. So what we need to build and we need to work with is character building. And here is the point. Moses, verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect, upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. From where Moses got that? From the revelation of the Lord. He is building the conceptual framework of the entire book of Job, building up from that conversation in the heavenly courts in which the Lord was talking about Job. Then describing that. Perfect. What is perfect? So here start the dynamics that is important. Because when you go to back, very, very back, and when I say very back, is in another book of Moses, but in the book of Genesis, in chapter 5. Open, please, book of Genesis, chapter 5. And we are going to explore two verses, and I'm going to work here something that you are going to see the relationship immediately. So, and you are going to ask sometimes yourself, how in the world this gentleman is jumping from the book of Job, from the book of Genesis? First of all, he's the first author. Second, you are going to see that I am going to focus in one characteristic of the character of Job. And you are going to see that characteristic is involved in several of the men of God that walk with the Lord. And you are going to see that immediately. The Bible says, book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse 22nd, and Enoch, what? Walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. 24, chapter 5. And Enoch, again, second time, walked with God. And he was not, for God, what? Took him. The Lord took him. And here is interesting, because in that moment, in the Bible appears a metaphor that is the, I call that the halakhic, the halakhic metaphor in the Old Testament, the metaphor of walking with the Lord, walking with God. Why? Because it's going to affect all the sins that we have regarding perfection, justification, sanctification, and several other things. Because the Bible says here, look for Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Chapter 6, verse 9. This says, chapter 6, verse 9, these are the generations of who? Noah. Okay. And Noah was what? Just. The word is tzaddik. Justice. Just. That is the foundation of the concept of justice is over there. Is tzedakah. Remember that. Is a just man. And what? And perfect. Why? Because in his generations, and Noah, what he did? Walked with God. And Noah walked with God. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was just man and perfect. That is tamim in his generations. And Noah walked halak with God. So when you see that, it's important because again, you are going to see that it's part of the dynamic, the halakhic metaphor regarding the conceptual and in interrelationship between the Lord and followers. When you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 17, book of Genesis, chapter 17, you are going to find out some hope. And some dynamics also here, coming from the Bible. And it says, Genesis 17, 1, and when Abraham was 90 years old, and 99 years old, you know, is 100 minus 1. So are you younger than that, I guess, guys? So don't worry, you have enough hope for that. But see what the Bible says. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk, halak, walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me and be perfect. So here you see again the rebirth of the dynamic of the halakhic metaphor in the Bible, the metaphor of walking with the Lord. And we are going to substitute sometimes some words, and we are going to make questions before my presentation ends here. Because let me tell you something. Here is starting with the case of Noah, with the case of Abraham, and with the case of Enoch, a metaphor that is going to extend not only to walk with God, but to walk in the things that belongs to the Lord. For example, if the Lord is speaking, is the word of the Lord, it's a commandment of the Lord. The Hebrew is going to call the misvots of the Lord. And those who are faithful to the word of the Lord are walking in the misvots of the Lord, in the commandments of the Lord, in the teachings of the Lord. And you are going to see that, and that is the building up of the faithfulness in the entire Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 8, 61. 1 Kings chapter 8, 61. The Bible says, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God. To walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. So, what is the thing here? Now the teachings are substituting the person of the Lord because the commandments, we are saying that, the commandments, what are the teachings about the law of God? It's a reflection of the character of the Lord. So when we are reflecting the character of the Lord, are we going to keep the commandments of God? Of course. So share that, you know, share that, because that is a misunderstanding between or among our brothers, evangelicals, and sometimes Catholics, and they are good people, by the way, but we are not, you know, emphasizing sometimes maybe the right point, because here the Bible says that when we are walking with the Lord, we are practicing all the things that he has teaching. That's simple. And we are not doing that to tell them, all right, we are perfect, we are doing this, and we are going to show off ourselves. No, that is not the meaning. That is not the meaning of Abraham. That is not the meaning for Enoch. That is not the meaning of Noah. That is not the meaning of the Lord Jesus. Because the center of the point is that they enjoy walking with the Lord. That is the point. Let's go to Psalms. Let's go to the book of Psalms. And let's go to the book of Psalms, and we are going to be in Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 1. And see what the Bible says, and you are going to see the dynamics of this topic. Again, blessed are the undefiled in the way who what? Walk in the law of the Lord. It's not any law, not a common law, not is the law of the Lord. Why? Because the law of the Lord is reflecting the character of the owner and the maker and the creator of the world. And you are blessed. The Bible says that. You are blessed. My question is that sometimes when I say, how are you? Some people say, I'm blessed. Okay. Blessed are those who are walking in the law of the Lord. So you can learn to say, I'm blessed. Dude, that's interesting. I enjoy, let me tell you this. So let's visit for a moment. And for a moment means a short reflection. The book of Micah, book of the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. And you are going to see again this topic and the dynamic that it has. And how it operates, how it functions into that. That is probably is a short verse. Sometimes you heard a presentation regarding that, but it's a wonderful reflection and deep spiritual connection regarding this same topic, that is justification by faith in the Old Testament. You know, Micah 6:8, and he had shew with thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require to thee, but to do how? Justly. And what? To love mercy. To love mercy. To enjoy in the mercifulness spirit of anyone who practices. And to what? And to walk humbly with thy God. Halak. That is part of the halakhic metaphor. And you can find yourself, if you have a software that permits you to work with Hebrew and Greek, you can search halak, and you are going to find out all the connections regarding that. Because it is of course what you need to do, because it is a word that is going to be very, very common in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So you need to connect walk and God. Because if not, you are going to find out walk across the Old Testament, and there is a lot. But here my point is not, it's not walking in any direction or alone or something like that. It's walking with God. And here it is the point. What is good? What doth the Lord require to thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? So when you began to think now about justification by faith and the meaning, my question is, do you see any complexity in this? Do you see any kind of theological complexity in this? Because sometimes my wife says, you are complex, Daniel, you know. You are not easygoing in the presentation. So I say, well, I am trying to make an effort of myself to put this thing clearly, because this is an easygoing teaching, but you need to go to the essence. Because if you enter into the New Testament and you are going to start with discussions regarding justice that is imputed and justice that is imparted, and justice in that, you enter into another kind of thing. But in the Hebrew minded, it's like, I'm going to enter into a very big point of critique to myself. It's like, you know, several computers and software systems that are very complex. And when you go to the Hebrew mind, it is very simple. It's relationship. It's based upon relations. Let me tell you what is the point here. When you think about perfection, sometimes there is a big discussion, perfection or perfectionism. But according to the Bible, is the man perfect? I am perfect. The perfection is not centered into ourselves. It's centered into the Lord. Who is perfect is God. What we need to do is to walk perfectly with Him who is perfect. And His perfection is going to come to us. That is the concept. Who is just? I am not just. The Lord is just. What we need to do is to walk perfectly with Him, and His justice is going to come to me. I do have faith. Well, sometimes my faith is very, very... But who is the faithful? We were talking about that. What is the root of emuna? We mentioned that. We said in the moment in which we are singing, great is thy faithfulness. The essence word is emuna. Faith. So who is the center of the faith? The Lord. And when we are walking perfectly with the Lord, His faithfulness is going to be micro reflected into our own experience. And that is the dynamic. So for me, the concept of walking with the Lord is very, very important. And of course, look what the Bible says. To walk humbly with the Lord. Sometimes we do have some problems with that. Oh, Lord, we want to go into this direction. I don't recommend that. My recommendation is, says the Lord, go this way. Sometimes we take our shortcuts are putting in very big troubles. And to put our hands in the hands of the Lord is very, very simple. So think about how is our walking with the Lord. How are we walking today with the Lord? What is our relationship with the Lord? And you are going to start, I will say, a new vision, a new kind of life, a new kind of enriching experience in the relationship with the Lord. And you are going to grow spiritually much more because you are going to be deep into that. And that is not the person, it's not the speaker, please. It is very clear, it's coming from the Bible. Enoch did it. Noah did it. Abraham did it. That is the experience of Job. I'm not bringing here human experiences of nowadays, but coming from the Bible. And that is centered into the same thing in which the Lord says, in the land, in the earth, the only one that was upright and perfect is this. And says to Satan, what are you doing here? If the earth is going to nominate one representative, that is not you. You were fired away from heaven. But that is Job. Because he is perfect. He's upright. And he eschews evil. And the Bible is very clear regarding that. So our point is how we are going to build our relationship. Because in essence, our relationship with the church is with the Lord. Is with the word of the Lord. The church is a moment in which we are going to build up our faith. And that, in essence, is the moment in which our dynamic is centered into walking daily with the Lord. Let me tell you something, and with this I'm going to finish in this five minutes. Yeah. Yes, the point is that he considers, or my understanding is that he considers that, remember, that angels were in the meetings, and Satan came up, but he called the attention to someone else that might have the right to be there. That's what Ellen G. White says regarding the topic, by the way. And he says very clearly, didn't you consider Job? And he began to say, well, he's your perfect. You give him this, you give him this, you give him this. So he says, if you take away all the things, you are going to see who is behind. You remember? It is verse 9 and 10. And after that, he lost all the elements of verse 3 and 2. But at the end, Job remains being faithful and unmovable. Unmovable. So what is the point? Is that at the end of chapter 1, verse 1, that is the character of Job stays. Yes, character. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not entering here in last generation, but it is you connected and you are doing right.
Interesting that you say that, you know, the substance and the family of Job is all gone. And in the end, chapter 42, that we see that his character is God's character.
It is. No. It's only a reflection. That is the point. That is the essence of that. And of course it is a big point. And it's a point in which you are beginning almost like to review everything. So I requested permission to say that, because I don't want to enter into a fight or a war inside our church. But our reflection, I say to the ministerial department, I've been part of until 1 month ago, is that we need to go deep in the Bible into that, because sometimes we are building up justification by faith in the word of other speakers, but we are missing the background that built up faith into the big men of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we need to recapture those ideas. That's the point. And when you go that way, it's simple. It's not complex to understand, but it's deep. But it's going to put us, ourselves, in a close relationship with the Lord and with the teachings, with the Word of God. And that is very, very, very deep. 1 minute, let me tell you that I missed that the metaphor of the halakhic metaphor is missing in the translation in the New Testament. And please, came tomorrow. I'm going to talk about that, because you are going to see that in the New Testament there was a kind of change in the translation. I'm going to emphasize or point the topic. I'm not going to criticize the Bible translations, but I'm going to give you what is the background idea in the New Testament, because some of the authors, remember something, Septuagint is a translation of Hebrew word or vocabulary of the Old Testament. And we are going to recapture the topic in which we were talking yesterday, because I think that in these days we need to recapture the concept of walking with God personal, in family, as a church, as a movement. And we need that. Let's have a word of prayer, and we are going to meet together tomorrow. Father in heaven, thank you for these moments in which we were reflecting in your word. Thank you for your word, Father, because it's bringing hope and salvation into our spirits. And Father, help us and teach us to learn how we might be able to walk with you from now on. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.com. www.audioverse.org.